Hey, good morning, church. How are we doing? Good. It's good to have people here in person and online. And I don't know what Christmas usually looks like for you, but to me, this one feels a little bit reflective. Yeah? I mean, sometimes it's like, it's all about like, you know, who's got your tree up already? No, we don't. So we're like a little bit late to the party. It's a little bit reflective, and that's not a bad thing at all, because I think it's really a time where even as we acknowledge that people are tired and we're overwhelmed, we're a little bit at our capacity, that we can have a hope, but it's not just in the things we're hoping for. It's not just in, great, let's see family. It's not just in, let's cross a border and have 25 tests like these guys have to do. We're praying for you, we're cheering you on, you're gonna be all right. It's much, much more than that. And that's what our Got Room series is all about. So it's good to be here with a few people. I've got some bread and I've got a letter and you're like, where is this gonna go? And nobody knows. No, I do. Yeah. It's all good. But it's good to be here worshiping together. And I just want to, before we jump into this, I want to acknowledge the moment that we're in that people are going through as much, if not more so, than they ever have been. And regardless of whether this has actually been a time where your family, maybe yourself, your business, your pursuits, whatever it might be, has flourished, for just as many people, it's been a time when they've almost lost just about everything. And so we need to sit in that. And it's a tension, just like being a Christian, that we're in the here, but we're in the not yet. So people are hopeful, but right now they're here. And the wonderful invitation of the gospel is to acknowledge that we can have a hope in Jesus that surpasses anything else in the world, even our beautiful families at Christmas time. And yet we can also be sad. We can also cry with people. We can also show great compassion. I've got a bit of a boom up here, Damo, if you can do something about that. Thanks, buddy. And being compassionate is an outcome of the love we have that God has poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen? So even if you disagree with someone, even if you have no idea why they believe what they believe, even if you're like on the nth degree, your decisions have put you in that situation, it doesn't matter. Because we are called out of that love to be compassionate. And I think that is the vision, that is the opportunity for the church in this moment, to be typified, to be even more than that, to be absolutely defined by our love and compassion in a divisive time where everyone has got something going on. So let me tell you about something going on for I should say a sister church with a Bride of Christ, so a sister church of ours in Kampala, Uganda. You might know, do you know the name Pastor Gideon Kabenge? Yeah? Maybe you've met him before he came here. I'm a little bit taller than he is, but man, he makes up for it because he is a firecracker and he helped us when we were doing a working bee here. You know, I want to just let you know, we're going to pray through all these things in just a moment before we jump into today's message. That their church was, the block of land was owned by another group who happened to be Muslim. And there's a lot of kind of enmity in that place between Muslims and Christians, like there are in many places in the world. I mean, we live in such comparative freedom to be able to gather. And I know that that's taken some hits in the last little bit, but they've actually upped the rent on them and are kicking them out, and their church is being demolished. And today, it's the middle of the night there on Saturday night, in just a few hours, will be their last day in their church. And so they're moving to an open plot of land where there's a frame and no roof. And you could be like, well, that's okay. It's warm over there. It doesn't really matter, does it? I mean, it still rains. It still gets cold sometimes. And this is going to be heartbreaking for them. And yet they are some of the most peaceful, hope-filled, faithful, sacrificial, servant-hearted people, as Gideon, who helped us with our working bee, would, the actions, the fruit of their lives attest to this. And so, church, I want to pray for them in just a moment, but I want to let you know what we've been doing. We're going to send them about $6,000. And God has been so gracious with us in the financial provision of the church, which has increased despite all odds over the last couple of years. And so we're actually in a place where we can say, there's a problem, let's do something. So $6,000 will go there, and we look to what else we can do to support them. And so they are, of course, so thankful for that, but we want to hold them up even more in prayer, amen. And it's wonderful that despite our physical distance, you know, we've got a few people in the room, we've got people online, it doesn't matter if we're physically distanced, because the Holy Spirit unites us, adopts us into the kingdom of God. And I've also got a letter here from Narringle Baptist Church that I think in June, we gave them $2,000 to support the placement of a children's ministry coordinator who has started, who is sharing the gospel, who we're seeing fruit of, and their pastor, Malcolm Ward. I think he'd be a reverend as a BAP, Reverend Paul. Malcolm Ward out there, who's such a great guy, and he shares so much wisdom with me. He rang me and left a message, and anybody smarter than me, show me how to get a voicemail off my iPhone. Anyway, my carrier doesn't support visual voicemails, but he said in 20 years of ministry, this has never happened to him before. And this is not to say go Gateway. It's just to go, when God speaks, which is what I'm talking about today, all we can do is say yes. I mean, the alternative is no, or the alternative is I'm too busy, and all of those things come up. But look at what happens when we say yes. So church, awesome. Thanks, Tom. Hey, I wonder, could we stand? And I'd love us to pray. Right now, Lord, we thank you for the most profound gift the world has ever received in the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. And so for those right now who are hurting, wherever they may be around the world, but we right now, we think particularly of maybe members of our church family who are hurting. Lord, this is a time when we need to reassess and realize that, Lord, Jesus is the Prince of Peace, that peace is not just an ethereal, distant, removed thing, but a person, the person of Jesus Christ. And Lord, you are just there by your Spirit waiting to comfort us. You don't always change the circumstance. You don't always make it easier. You don't always do things that make us comfortable and happy, but you are certainly there to minister to us and as an outcome, allow us to mourn, cry, share, disagree, but on the same time, out of love and grace, we forgive. And that is profound. So Lord, would you restore to us a passion for forgiveness, a passion for restoration as we seek you. And right now, Lord, I pray you would comfort our brothers and sisters at Streams of Living Water Church in Kampala, Uganda. And I pray that you would just minister to Gideon Kabenge's heart, Lord. I'm sure he's feeling discouraged. But Lord, I pray that you would just minister to him in a profound and supernatural way. Because, Lord, you are capable of that. And this is a man of incredible faith and integrity, a man who has saved orphans on the street, who is himself an orphan off the street, and you have adopted into your family. What an incredible, profound reality that we thank you for and celebrate today. And, Lord, I don't even know what her name is, actually, but I pray for that children's ministry coordinator out at Narringle Baps, and I pray for that church as they gather together this morning, Lord, to glorify you and to be together in worship and adoration and recognition of the greatest gift the world has ever received in the person of Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we believe our prayers are powerful, not because of who we are, but because of who has saved us, Jesus Christ, and, Lord, that you can do anything across any distance, across any opposition, Lord, that what the enemy meant for evil in pulling down their church, you will work for good because they love you, and that's the promise of Scripture. And Lord, we pray that our small, meager offering could have a huge, profound difference beyond the impact of a dollar at a time. And everybody said in Jesus' name, amen, amen. Amen. Why don't you sit down? So good to pray. Who's hungry? Ugh, I can't share food with you. Man, this season is crazy. All right, what's this? I wanted to have some sourdough, but I couldn't pull it off. And actually, shout out to Kerry Thomas, who's just back there. We actually had some Jane Doe sourdough. I think it had caraway seeds, and I was going to bring it, but it's way too good to come here and waste on a message analogy. So here we go, Coles bread. Hey, I wonder if you were like pretty much every second person on the planet and you baked bread during lockdown. Be honest. I tried and it failed. And also, I just remembered that Paul and I used to be competitive in the bread department. This is, if you don't know, this is Paul and Anne. Paul was a previous pastor of Gateway. Married Elise and I, beautiful, beautiful people. So many people built habits, and so many of them were around baking bread. And there was this big, the memes were everywhere. And it was just like, you know, everybody got in on it. It was like Jamie Oliver, how to make bread. You know, one bowl bread, one batch, no yeast, whatever you want to do. Sourdough that's been living under someone's house for 20,000 years, some starter. Talk, Kerry knows all about it, sure. That's dangerous. That's like, you know, chemistry in your oven. So just be careful. You know, maybe you did that. And I think this year particularly, the Advent season is this time leading into Christmas to reflect on the meaning of Christmas. And yes, we're getting to the start of a new year, which brings up all those New Year resolutions that no one ever keeps. But it is the time to say, what habits have been formed in me over this past year? There's been so much disruption. There's been so much change. And if you particularly, maybe your rhythms of walking with God weren't that great, or for some reason, all of them were challenged, and you're actually totally overwhelmed, don't let the only habit you formed be baking bread. It's good. I love bread. I will always receive bread, as you can probably tell, but don't let it be the only thing. So what habits formed in you? There's an invitation to bring our habits before the Lord. That invitation is always there, but I want to put it to you today. And maybe if you've got to travel somewhere, or even as you go about, you know what's really freeing? If you've got a ton of stuff to do in the lead up to Christmas, make a list so you get it out of your head and just start going through it. And then when you're going from thing to thing, you can actually talk to God instead of just being like, now what have I got to do? Chris, have you got a few things to do?
Yeah.
Have you made a list?
We did, actually.
Good job. Who's the list person out of you and Kat? Yes, she is wise. You should listen to her. Good job. Make a list. Get it out of your head. Habits are foundational to our lives, and we need to make room for good ones, because without the good habits, we're missing out on the relationship we're invited into because of what Christmas is all about, the birth of Jesus. And he wants us to know about it, and he wants us to prioritize it. So let's have a look at this first reading. It's from Micah 5:2. I think it's from the NIV. Does anybody know how to say that? I thought I knew and I was wrong. So, but you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah. Everyone say Ephrathah. I always thought it was like Ephratah or something. Ephrathah. Though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Okay, now I've been nerding out on this, and so we're not going to be here for too long, but there's some really cool stuff as an outcome of this passage of scripture. Let me just give you a little bit of context. So Micah is the prophet Micah, and we're talking about the 8th century BC. And really, I could have titled this message, Threats and Promises. You're like, hang on a minute. Well, I mean, in the gospel, inherently, is kind of like almost a threat and a promise. Like, if we don't know God, he sent Jesus for us to know him. Because not knowing God, not having Jesus, is separation from God for eternity. And so the start of it, the writing of it, goes from about the 8th century BC to about the mid, kind of, you know, 550, 560 BC. And I don't know if you know what happened in that time, but we've got, like, King David was this amazing king who was a bit imperfect, wasn't he? Some major stuff ups, which is really good for us to go, oh, hang on, the Bible kind of includes warts and all. You know, these heroes of the faith actually did some really bad things. But what happens is, you know, we've got David, we've got his sons, we've got subsequent kings, and things are kind of going downhill. And we've got ultimately the fall of the house of David, we've got the fall of Jerusalem, we've got the Israelites in captivity in Babylon. It's like, this is horrible, this is not a good place to be. And yet, what comes, so Micah is saying, hey, you're not doing the right thing. And so there's some threats here, but there's also some profound promise. I'm going to tell you what Bethlehem means later, but Ephrathah means fruitful. And, you know, God wanted to be clear with his people. You are not following me. But he also wanted to say, but I have a way to save you. And I'm going to, and I'm faithful. And so before we jump into a couple of points, just this big principle, there is no time, no pain, no uncertainty, no chaos, no moment, even right now, if it is for you, whether you're here or at home, that is too great for the light of Christ to shine through. Think about this. The Israelites, God's chosen nation, their kingdom was brought low. Their capital city and temple destroyed. They're taken into captivity. They have lost everything. And they should have known that it was coming, but they didn't listen. But God's saying, but here's the promise. And so number one, everyone say number one. Got to be a participation here. We're still getting back to in-person services. I get it. God is always speaking if we'll listen. And you're like, yes, I know that. But it's great when we grab passages of scripture like this, the way that it speaks. What's prophecy? Because this is used as a fulfillment of prophecy and it's making a prophecy. It's just God going, here's something that's going to happen in the future. Cool. It's not that scary of a thing. And prophecy, as an aside, will always line up with scripture. Never oppose scripture. This was actually, this Micah 5:2, was the scripture which the scribes went upon with great assurance, it says, when they told Herod where Jesus would be born. And so we read this in Matthew 2:6. It'll be just behind me. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. See, the language has already changed. What's changed it? It's not a trick question. What's changed? Only Jesus. Even just the coming of Jesus into a place has made it, you know, there's different kind of translations of Micah 5:2 where it's like, not only are you the smallest, some say you're not even enough to be called part of the tribe of Judah. And so here it's changed already just because of Jesus. You're by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will become a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. God always and primarily speaks through his word. So can I encourage you, whether it's on a phone, the YouVersion, whatever app you use to read the Bible, don't walk your Christmas without going to the Word of God, because I know he is speaking to you. And there's this really interesting tension that we're living in. While we recognize that Jesus came into the world 2,000 years ago, and he will again, we live knowing that he came and what he accomplished. We are expecting his arrival and yet enjoying his presence. Is anyone going to see a family member that you haven't seen for a while? And instead of being like, oh no, I hope this goes well. You're not thinking that. Everyone's going, great, I can't wait to see this person. So you are awaiting their presence with great anticipation, and soon you will be appreciating their presence. Well, by the Spirit of God, we are already in the presence of God. We're in the presence of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is with us. So I want to encourage us, make a habit of seeking and enjoying His presence. Listen to His voice. God will speak, and we need Him to. We were never meant to live this life without His voice. That's the invitation. Number two. Can you give me a number two? Good job. The little things matter and are of use to God. The little things matter and are of use to God. Now, what is God doing here? God is reviving the kingdom and line of David, and yet at the same time, He's saving the world. And you're like, well, you better use some good big stuff to do that, hey? Not if you're God. He can use anything. He can bring honor to anything because of who He is and what He brings. So Jesus, I don't know if you know this, was of the line of David. And that's what brings Mary and Joseph, Mary to Bethlehem because she's of the line of David as well. And Bethlehem would be the place of His birth, of the nativity. Now, God is speaking. God is speaking to His people. You come back to the threats and promises. Universally, it was known that Jesus would be born where David was from. And that's Bethlehem. You know, now we live in a world where universally people do not know the name of Jesus. You know, it's just, you can't, even if you don't want that to be true, sometimes there are just things that are true that you have to go, okay, it's true. Well, God help me. And He will. The church really needs to realize, like when you walk up to people, be like, do you know who, what the reason for Christmas is? And they're like, no. Do you know who Jesus is? No. And even more so when you talk to people, I had a great chat with a guy who asked for help. He was living in his car. He asked church for help and we could help him. And he has a lot of friends and has spent a lot of time with Aboriginal people in WA. And he's kind of like, yeah, like Jesus is a white guy, blonde hair, like little beard, you know, white robes and stuff. And I'm like, no. And it just blew his mind because he knew who Jesus was, but actually didn't know who He really is and certainly didn't know Him in a Lord and Savior way. And so we've been having chats. It's great. And it's as encouraging for me as I hope it might be the help we can give Him. They knew that Jesus would come, be born in this place. God ordered it that He would be born there. And who is Jesus? He is David's perfect and everlasting successor. Much more than David. Jesus is God. So Bethlehem Ephrathah. Everyone say Ephrathah. It's not a great place. You know how Port Ferry is, I'm not going to say Port Ferry is not a great place. It's a great place. Port Ferry punches so far above its weight. It is so small, but it's the world's most livable small town. Bethlehem is not. So it is small. It's called fruitful, but it's kind of like, as a joke, it's not fruitful. It is small. It does not punch above its weight. It doesn't really produce much. And yet God goes, that's where the Savior of the world is going to be born. Because of these principles, God makes room and elevates those of low degree. So if you look at someone, if you're like looking around at the world and the world's going, that is little, that is of no worth. Jesus came to elevate those things. He does that for us. And so Bethlehem Ephrathah gave no honor to Jesus to be born there, but Jesus brought all the honor, all the power, all the sovereignty, all the good. And so that place now is recognized. And you can imagine, like back Micah 5:2 says 800 years or so before Jesus, and like the Israelites are getting all these threats from the prophet Micah, and then there's this promise, like Bethlehem Ephrathah. Like you can imagine, like, are you kidding? This is your plan, God? And then even knowing it, they didn't recognize Jesus. And we've got to be careful that even though we know it, that we forget to recognize Jesus at Christmas. And so for us, if we're following Jesus, if we are a relation to Jesus Christ, we've been adopted into that family. He made room for us in the kingdom of God. We will magnify those who are little in the world. And so I don't know how you're feeling, whether you're here in person or you're online. Maybe right now things for you are feeling small. Your capacity is small. Your margin to do more is small. Your resources are small. Your faith is small. Your strength is small. Your ability to cope is small. Your ability to forgive is small. Your ability to relate to people who you don't agree with or disagree with you is small. But you're still trying to do it in your own strength. And God's going, look what I've been doing, and I've been doing it all the time, and I'm going to keep doing it today. God will use and elevate the small. The small things matter to God. All right, last point, point three. How are we doing? Good, good, good. I'm good. When God speaks, it reveals something about Him. When God speaks, it reveals something about Him. His names, the words He uses, what He says, it reveals something. And so Jesus is what? Jesus is forever. Always was, always will be. He is called ruler. He rules. He will establish a government that will be over everything. He's the Prince of Peace. He's a shepherd. What else is He? Who? What is He?
An advocate.
An advocate. So good. God is always speaking. And I think for us, particularly 2,000 years on, there are so many things, and I'm not Jewish, so there's so many things that I miss, so many words that I don't understand. I wonder if you realize why I've got this and what Bethlehem means. Bethlehem means house of bread. Place of bread. And so even in the name of the least of places, the least, not even big enough to be called part of the tribe of Judah, God is speaking. And the Jews would have known this. Bethlehem Ephrathah, place of bread, fruitful. Kind of kidding, but God's going to use it. And He did, and He does. And it's the fittest place for Jesus to be born, who is also called one of the seven I am statements. I am the bread of life. Can we have a look at that? Thanks, Hannah. John 6:35, New Living Translation says, this is the words of Jesus. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Oh. Who's hungry and thirsty for more than just food? I mean, we can't do food right now, so you're probably that too. But who's hungry and thirsty for more than just food? Who knows that just food doesn't sustain? We get full, but we're not content. Or we're over full, and then we're like, oh no, I regret this. Bread is symbolic of God's life-sustaining provision. When Jesus told hungry crowds He was the bread of life, He was teaching His followers and therefore teaching us down the track that He alone is the true source of their spiritual life, both now as we enjoy His presence and when He returns and is present and forever. And this bread of life, I don't know. Actually, what's great about Jane Doe's, Will Jane's products is that he doesn't put any preservatives and stuff in there. But what happens then, if you don't have preservatives and stuff, what happens? It gets moldy. I don't know. My suspicion is that maybe this one from Coles might go moldy a little bit slower than Jane Doe stuff, which is actually a positive. And then if you get a cheeseburger, apparently, from Macca's, it can last like 50 years, which should worry all of us. This bread wears out. But the bread of life never perishes, never spoils, never runs out. Micah 5:2 says, "One who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times." Jesus is forever, in a past tense, in a present tense, in a future tense. He is forever. Charles Spurgeon says this, "The birth of Jesus is the proof of the goodwill of God to men." And then Luke 2:14, New King James Version says this, because you've got to have some old language sometimes. "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Why should we care about this news? Because don't we need peace and goodwill? Like, I mean, anyone, respectfully, you're out of your mind if you don't look around the world and think, we need peace and goodwill. There's not a lot of peace and goodwill. Jesus is the only hope for that. So wrapping up today, it's a few more things. You doing all right? Jesus is our peace as a priest. He pays the price of our sin. He intercedes on our behalf. He advocates for us sitting at the right hand of God. He reconciles us back to God. And he is our peace as a king, conquering our enemies and quelling our fears. No matter how big our fear is, no matter how big the dark in our life is, the light of Christ will overcome. And in a future tense, any opposition to the king who came in to the smallest of places to be born to elevate it, who came as a baby instead of a king at the front of an army. But the same is true, that this king will come and nothing that stands against him will stand. And the beautiful thing, as he has made room for us, he invites us to make room for others. He's not waiting on us to be perfect or to understand everything. I mean, hopefully, you know, now you understand Micah 5:2. Great. I've done a little bit of work for you. And that's good. But God's not even waiting for us to understand everything. He gives hope by faith and simply asks this question. Are you available? Are you available? Have you got room for me? As that carol states, let every heart prepare him room. And that's a great prayer because, you know, we actually need the Holy Spirit to move to allow every heart to make him room because we are so busy. We are so overwhelmed. We're tired. The world is loud. We're distracted, whatever it might be. Lord, help us to have space in your hearts, in our hearts, for you. Last reminder, what put Joseph and Mary in the right place to fulfill Micah's prophecy? I wonder if you remember. It was a census. It was the direction of an emperor. It was the plans of a nation opposed to God. Does it matter? Can it stop what God wants to do? Give me a resounding no. Let's try it again. No. This is the reality. And so we stop and think of this baby in a manger. But when we start to look at the outside of these stories and all the details and God's sovereignty, what he was using and how people had to walk in just availability and obedience and faith because they didn't understand what was going on. Just like I very seldom understand what is going on. But God in his power orders all things for the fulfilling of the scripture. and makes sure and makes use of the things that men have for serving their own purpose. I mean, mankind, not just men. You know, it doesn't matter what our intention is. It doesn't even matter sometimes if, you know, nations or emperors or whatever are listening to God, God's still going, yep, I've got this, I'm going to use this. Because he is God, he is sovereign. I just wonder, would we stand together? We're going to finish with something that kind of represents a bit of liturgy. I thought, what's a great way to finish today? And I think a great way would be just to say the Lord's Prayer together. So be brave. Stand up with me. The world right now is chaotic. It's not bad to recognize that. But there's an invitation in that. It's an invitation to come and be refreshed, to be comforted, to not live any longer without Jesus at the center of your life. Whether you're a Christian who is kind of like, yeah, Lord, you can have this tiny place over here, but don't get in my way as I put up my Christmas tree and make sure everything's perfect at home. Or whether you've never known him at all. We'd love you to make contact with us. You can click on the connect form, little link, or if you're here in person, I'd love to talk to you at the end of today. Hear your story, hear about whether, you know, you've kind of walked without Jesus for a bit and you want to come back to him, or you've never even known Jesus before. But I wonder, it should be up here. I wonder if we could say this together, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. I better use the older language, as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. So we invite Karen up to close the service, and I wonder, could we pray? Lord, thank you. You're inviting us into relationships so much that Jesus actually gave us that answer in Matthew when his disciple says, how should we pray? Jesus actually said, here's a way you can talk to our Father. Here's a way you can talk to me. And so, Lord, thank you for what you have profoundly done, that you are always speaking, that you are sovereign, that your word is clear, and it just shows us how powerful you are, Lord, how good you are, that there is goodwill from you towards us. The most profound truth of that is the reality of Jesus Christ, your Son, being born at Christmas. And so, Lord, help us not to walk from here into the future without the truth of that perfect gift in our hearts, ordering our lives. And Lord, by your Spirit, help us to make room, help us to be obedient and available, Lord, and help us just to realize that you can use the small. You delight in using the small. You just want us to say yes. Thank you, Lord, that you comfort. Thank you, Lord, that you're looking after our brothers and sisters in Kampala, Uganda. Thank you that there are churches gathering all around just to glorify and recognize that incredible name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said,